This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Helen Scales. We're talking particle physics this week, and we're also talking about the LHC, which powers up this week coming. And joining us now from the control room in CERN at the Large Hadron Collider is Guy Crockford, who's one of the engineers on the project. Hello, Guy.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good to be here.
Well, you must be very excited.
It's a very exciting time for all of us here in the control room, yes.
What's the sort of launch procedure building up towards Wednesday?
Okay, so at the moment we've reached a point where the machine is ready to take the first beams. And in fact, we've already made some pre-tests where we've managed to synchronize the LHC with the injector machines and inject beam into the LHC, but just circulate part of the way round of the 27-kilometer circumference.
How do you actually generate those particles in the first place?
Okay, so the beam starts off as inside a bottle of hydrogen. And so a hydrogen atom contains a proton nucleus with an electron orbiting around it. So we simply strip off the electron, and we start to accelerate beams of protons from this hydrogen bottle. But it has to go through a chain of four separate accelerators before it gets up to the energy that we can inject it into the LHC.
So you spin it up to speed first in a sort of smaller version, and once it gets going quickly enough... This is presumably using magnetism to accelerate it.
Well, we use magnets to guide the machine around the circular path of these circular accelerators and focus the beam. But we use radio frequency cavities, which actually give the beam its energy. So the reason for having circular machines is that the beam can make many passages through these cavities.
And as it gets going, how fast will the particles end up travelling?
Well, when the beam is up to a collision energy of the LHC, it will be extremely close to the speed of light. Actually, 99.99999% of the speed of light.
It's pretty fast.
As fast as you can go, yeah.
And once you've got that stream of particles going at that speed, the whole circumference of the LHC is 27 kilometres. So how quickly will they do a lap?
Yeah, so at the speed of light... They travel once around the 27 kilometres, 11,000 times, in fact, in 1 second.
So that's pretty fast. You've got one group of protons going in one direction and one group going in the other direction.
Exactly, yeah.
And then when they get to the critical speed, you then make them run into each other.
Yeah, so the particularity of the LHC is that we have two vacuum pipes in which the two counter-rotating beams of protons can circulate. And they actually cross over each other at the four experimental detectors. And when the beam reaches top collision energy, we then make some fine adjustments at these crossing angles to bring the beams into collision inside the detectors.
And then when they smack into each other, what happens?
Well, the protons, most of the protons, in fact, will just pass straight through each other like clouds passing through each other. But a few... protons will actually impact with each other and annihilate and transform into energy, which can create these strange particles that existed soon after the beginning of the universe.
And to put it into perspective so people can sort of appreciate the kind of energies you're dealing with here, when they run into each other, how hard are they going to collide?
Well, the actual collision is not very remarkable. In fact, if you clap your hands together, you probably... making a collision of greater energy than the particles. But the remarkable thing about the LHC is that these collisions are taking place on an atomic scale. So it is very concentrated, not very large amounts of energy, but extremely concentrated.
So when you want to build something on the scale of the LHC, what are the sort of engineering constraints there? How do you go about doing this?
Okay, so first of all, to be able to... make a beam circulate in around the LHC, you need a vacuum pipe. Inside this vacuum pipe, you need an ultra-high vacuum. In fact, the vacuum of the LHC is about 20 times lower than the pressure on the surface of the moon. Once you have the beam circulating, you need to keep it on its circular trajectory using very strong magnets. So we have two main kinds of magnet in the LHC, dipole or two-pole magnets, which keep the beam on its trajectory around the ring, and quadrupole magnets, four-pole magnets, which focus the very intense beams of protons to keep them inside the aperture of the vacuum pipe. Now, the fields inside these dipole and quadrupole magnets are so high. In fact, it's about 170,000 times the Earth's magnetic field that we need to resort to superconducting technology to make these magnets. So the coils of the magnets are made of a special alloy called niobium titanium. And if you reduce the temperature of these coil down to very low temperatures, I'm talking minus 270 degrees Celsius, then the coil will conduct electricity with zero resistance. That way we can pass huge currents of almost 12,000 amperes through the coil and produce these very powerful magnetic fields to keep the beam under control.
We actually had a question from Joshua on our forum, which was just about the temperature, and he wanted to know, you know, why was it that it needed to be kept so cold? And it's, you know, nearly absolute zero, isn't it? And how do you keep it so cold as well?
Okay, so in fact, we have a huge cryogenic refrigeration pump to cool down the whole machine. We need to use liquid helium to keep the magnets cold. The first stage of this process is to pre-cool the gaseous helium using liquid nitrogen, which is very cheap, but we need huge quantities of liquid nitrogen. Then once that will bring the temperature down to about 80 degrees Kelvin, so something like minus 200 Celsius. Then we use cryogenic refrigeration plants to reduce the temperature down to the boiling point of helium. So then we're getting down to about 4 degrees Kelvin or... But this is still not cold enough for the fields required and the currents that we require inside the LHC. So we have further cold compressors and refrigeration plants, which reduces the pressure in the helium down to 150 millibars. Sorry. And at this point, the temperature reduces to 1.9 Kelvin, which is the operating temperature.
That's really quite cold, isn't it?
Than the outer space, in fact.
Colder than Pluto, that's for sure. Yeah. Now, one last question, Guy, which is, at this time of rising energy bills, what is your electricity bill?
In fact, the energy consumption of the LHC is similar to the whole of the city of Geneva, domestic consumption. So let me see, this is about, we're talking about 120 megawatts of power.
I mean, roughly how many households do you think that is in Geneva?
Yeah, I mean, there's a population of about 50,000 households in Geneva.
So. And that's quite a lot of energy, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Okay, but it's all in a good cause, I think is what I'm trying to say. Thank you very much for joining us, Guy.
Yeah, you're welcome. My pleasure.
That was Guy Crockford, who's one of the engineers on the project at the LHC, and hopefully all will go according to plan when he presses the button on Wednesday.